Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, this is Nazim Rashid. Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. I'm so glad that you joined the program today. We're going to have a fantastic time, and I always want to thank Imam Alfred Muhammad for allowing me to have this time with you today. Alrighty? Okay, so I always like to recap. First of all, let you know that, remind you that I had a series a little while ago on recovery, addictions and recovery, and we're starting this series on improving and repairing relationships, and this is our part four series, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, with that in mind, we'll talk about what we did the last time. Matter of fact, we looked at areas of personal growth areas that affect relationships, such as forgiveness and validation, self-esteem, visualization, and I believe we left off on self-image, which is so very important. Because when you look at self-image, it's also always about the concept you have within yourself, personally about yourself, and secondarily about the relationship. Okay? Again, personally about yourself, and then about the relationship. All right? Whatever concept you have of your marriage, okay, is what you'll be judging everything by. And it won't necessarily match what the other person has, you know, as their image. So that's where the conflicts come in, you see. That's why it's very important to share your image with them so that you can be on the same page and be congruent with your images, okay? Very, very important. And if you remember, I read a poem by Sister Tanya Hassan, and very good, called When I Grow Up. Matter of fact, I'll repeat that poem right there. We'll kind of start right there for sure, and we'll have a good time with that, all right? So, Tanya Hassan, good daughter of a friend of mine, Imam Rafiq Hassan, who's in North Carolina now. She says, this is very good. When I grow up, I want to be just like the lady in the mirror staring back at me. I want her eyes, her laugh, her smile. I want her to look in the mirror and stare at me a while. When I grow up, I want her hair, her curly locks bouncing everywhere. I want her perfectly white teeth and flawless skin. I want her to tell me what great shape I'm in. Mm-hmm. When I grow up, I want pierced ears so I can wear silver and diamond earrings during the festive time of year. I am to buy cute shoes and dresses, wear lipstick and blush on my cheeks. These are the things that I want when I'm as big as she. This morning, I looked into the mirror on birthday 33. I was happy that I had grown into the lady staring back at me. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, that's by Tanya Hassan. I think she's in California now. You know, it's very, very important. All right. Our self-image dwells in our subconscious, not on the conscious level. That's very important to understand that. Yeah. You might think that you're about a certain kind of thing or, you know, maybe a job or marriage or and you wind up not living up to that because what happens is that you're thinking on the conscious level naturally. But see, we plant seeds into the subconscious, which forms our self-image. So it dwells in our self-image, not at the conscious level. The conscious level, see, the conscious level is responsible for collecting information from the environment, storing it in the memory cells, and making rational decisions. The subconscious is responsible for autonomic body controls such as breathing, heartbeat, the storage of information, and creative goal seeking. Mm-hmm. The conscious level, all right, cannot do anything without consulting with the subconscious level first. The subconscious level checks its storage bank, which houses the self-image, and then replays the self-image information back to the conscious level. It is not the conscious level that controls the subconscious level of thinking, but the subconscious level that controls the conscious level. Now, that doesn't sound too fair, does it? You know, that this subconscious, you know, level, this subconscious, something that's working behind the scenes is controlling the scenes. Doesn't sound fair, does it? But that's the way God created us, okay? Yeah, for sure. Nothing is done without reference to the subconscious level of thinking. Its sole function is to follow what we feed it, being totally objective. We can either feed positive producing information or negative producing information. And we're doing just that every day, whether we are conscious of it or not. So, when we notice unfavorable results in our lives, we should look to see what self-image information is being brought forth to the conscious reality. That's very important to understand that. That is very important. Did you get that? I'll say it again. So when we notice unfavorable results in our lives, we should look to see what self-image information is being brought forth to our conscious, to our conscious reality. And we do this by first noticing what kind of self-talk we are conducting. That's very, very key. You know, the more we can internalize this process, the more we can model, see, and guide ourselves. You know, yeah, we can be a good guy for others and a guide for the relationship. That's what it's all about, right? Yeah, very, very important to understand that. You see, yeah. The healthy ones realize that they are in control of their internal thermostat. And when they want change to happen, they reset the thermostat to their desired temperature. Mm-hmm. They change their self-talk and internal image of themselves. Yeah. They walk, talk, and act differently. They conduct their affairs differently and create new standards for themselves. They chart a different course and new standards for themselves. They chart a different course. Yeah, absolutely. Soon, this new behavior becomes their new habit. And then at that time, it is their new way of being set on automatic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's a good brother, good friend of mine on the East Coast, and Dr. Mubashir Ugda. You know, I like using other people's quotes. You know, I always like referencing other great people and great friends of mine in my mastermind circle. He says, how we view ourselves and interpret the reality around us have a profound influence and effect on human psychology, motivation, and behavior. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, matter of fact, since a lot of people listening are on the East Coast, you might know Mubashir. Yeah, good brother, good friend. Visualizing imagination and faith in your higher self are three of the most important qualities that successful people possess. Mm-hmm. These areas are vital in creating high-producing self-image. The greater your ability to creatively daydream, the better you will be in creating a new future. All right, I always want to pause in here to make sure that you understand a relationship. See, in order to have a good relationship, you know, good marriage, you got to bring personal growth into the circle. Mm-hmm. If you aren't sure about yourself, you hate yourself, you say demeaning things about yourself, negative self-talk, that is going to affect the marriage. Absolutely, without a doubt. You know, without a doubt. Yeah, when I say you have to creatively daydream, let your imagination just go out there, you know? You know, regarding the marriage, imagine it being the best. Being the best, having a good time, being on the beach and going to Cancun for a weekend. and you know, hanging out, you know, and then have your own airplane and fly to Hawaii for lunch if you want to, you know. Daydream. Just let it go out there. Don't have any inhibitions. There are no limitations in the universe. You see? Allow yourself to dream. Allow yourself to see yourself in a better situation. You know, that way you don't settle. You know, have the best mate. You see, the best one that fits you. Remember, to fit you, not anybody else. Okay? That's so very important. You gotta go out there. Don't settle. Don't say, well, you know, there aren't many, you know, men out there, you know, the right women are not around me, and I'm in the city, can't find a good person in the city. You know how the city poisons our minds, and you know, and so forth and all that. And yeah, so many excuses, and then you start dreaming of what you're envisioning, what your eyes are physically seeing. And that is limited. That gives you limited possibilities. Forget what your eyes are seeing. It has nothing to do with what your physical eyes are looking at, what you're seeing in a paper, or what you hear about the stats about, you know, the high divorce rate and improbability of even having a good mate. Just get married. Just, you know, just do the best you can. Just as long as you're not fussing, fighting, and do it anyway. Just tolerate it. You know, just tolerate it. You see, I was talking to a brother just today. You know, he's saying, well, you know, God, you know, I hate to come home. I wait until the lights go out before I go in the door. I just kind of tolerate the situation. Imagine something else. And life is too short. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that. Tell yourself that I am deserving of the best that Allah Almighty God has for me. I am deserving of the best. I am deserving of the best relationship. I am deserving of the best marriage. I'm deserving of the best mate. I am worth it. I am worth a life of financial abundance. I'm worth a life of happiness and joy with the mate that I truly love. You see? Tell yourself that thing and tell yourself that. You know, yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, visualizing what you want instead of what you don't want may seem like common sense to most of us, even though most people follow the latter instead of the former. You see, our mind gives us what we dwell upon. God, did you catch that one? Whether it is constant conversation with ourselves or others, or a picture we hold in our minds, constantly thinking about these things. You know, I got a list here. The job that we hate. The people we have to work around that annoy us. The spouse that we are loathing, ooh, the bills that keep increasing, the poverty that seems to control us, the relationships that are depriving us of life, the kids making us mad, the fear in our neighborhood, the downward spiraling of our life, the glass ceiling on our jobs, racism, sexism, deteriorating school systems. Now, is that on your mind? That's a heavy burden. That's a heavy burden you're carrying around if you're thinking about these things on a regular basis. So how on earth can you imagine a good relationship? How on earth can you imagine, you know, the finest wife, the finest husband being yours? Remember, the one is for you. We're not talking about Hollywood. How can you allow that energy to come in if you're burdened with all these things here? Well, see, all this forms your self-image. Yes, it forms your self-image. And you wonder why your life is going, you know, down the toilet. I call it the toilet spiral. Huh? Yeah. I'm telling you, see? If you're thinking about these things, then you're subtly giving your subconscious mind more data to feed to you as more of the same realities. Remember that your subconscious level of awareness only makes real for you what you hold in your mind and your conversations. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, you see, you have to change your mental pictures and your conversations. We have to form the picture of what you want and not what you don't want. Dwelling on the negative only causes more negative. It is called the law of attraction. So you heard about that, huh? Remember the secret? All right. You have to have such a strong image of your new desired experiences that you can actually taste, smell, and feel the image as if you already have it. Yeah, you got to live from the other side of the finish line. Yeah, feel the feelings as if what you wanted was already in your possession. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it is a new car, what kind of car is it? What year and color is it? What does the interior smell like? How does it feel on the road? If you hold this idea long enough and really feel and own this image, it will, on some level, manifest to you. Yeah. So regarding the marriages, you got to, you know, you have to imagine what she or he will be like. Remember, fitting you, fitting what you need to have. You know, we all got, you know, different things in our life. You know, remember, whatever it is, remember what God said, He's created you in the most excellent mold. So don't think about your imperfections. You think about your special qualities, you see? Because whatever you have, it's the perfect mold. If your name is Yusuf, you have the perfect Yusuf mold. If your name is, John, you have the perfect John mold. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. A little analogy here. It's like the basketball coach telling his team not to miss so many baskets and wonders why they keep on missing baskets. Well, he is putting the wrong image in their minds. That wrong image keeps on manifesting itself on the court. Mm-hmm. See, we operate from the dominant thought in our brains. The dominant thought here is missing baskets. The mind does not compute negatives like not. Remember that, not. The mind can't even accept that. The mind picks up only the objective, which is, in this case, missing baskets. We tell our kids to stop acting like animals and we get more animal-like behavior. We tell our spouses to stop arguing and stop nagging and we get more of the same. You see, we have to focus on what we want and we have to internalize and pass this on to our children. Yeah, for sure. This is so, so very important. I hope you're getting this. That's why you got to watch yourself talk. What kind of conversations are you having? How are you doing it? You know? And when both of you are on the same page, it's wonderful. Then you act like a check for one another. Because, you know, we all kind of get off the path a little bit here and there. And when both of you all are on the same page, you can kind of be a nice, you know, healthy check for one another. You might say, well, honey, did you really want to say it like that? Do you really want to, you know, express it like that? I know what you mean, but do you want to express it like that? You know? Because your dominant theme is what's going to carry you along, you know? You see, and all that. So, that's good. Have, you know, after all, God also says we're a garment for one another. So we need to be there for one another like that. It's okay. You see? See, giving the children the vision for creative and productive imagination is such a wonderful gift. Children are naturally imaginative, and to encourage them to be more imaginative is such a blessing for you and them. When children talk about their imagination and visions, you should show interest and ask questions that spark them to think more about their mental pictures. Don't brush them off by saying, "Don't be silly." There you go again with your imaginary friends again. You know, who knows, you might have a real visionary artist, musician, sculptor, or even a young medium or psychic on your hands. Support them in their dreams, and you'll be supporting their future accomplishments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you getting a picture now? Yeah, yeah. You know, picture, that's what self-image is about, pictures. Now, I want everybody to understand what we're talking about here, okay? All right, very important. So every so often I do, you know, my little commercial to catch everybody up. I am Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. And this book has been, all, you know, in different parts of the world already. I know Germany has a copy of the book, somebody there. People who connected with my show, the Reconnected Show, have been from Singapore. Matter of fact, lately I've had a lot of hits from Brazil and a few from Italy. But Bangkok has checked in, South Africa, I got two in South Africa, Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, Austria, Australia, Canada, United Kingdom. Yeah, so a lot of people are really getting the message here. And my show comes on every Saturday, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 11 o'clock Arizona and Pacific Time. And you can go online at blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Again, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. And a lot of you like to listen on your phone, you can do that by calling 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. And all, by the way, for all those listening on the phone, listening on your phone right now, you can just, if you want to ask a question or be a part of the show, you just put your number one on your phone, and I'll see that and bring you in on the switchboard. We can have a nice, lively conversation, okay? All right? And I host my show. I have a lot of different personal growth experts. And what they're doing, see, they're actually talking about personal growth issues from their own perspective, but they all reflect the messages in my book, Reconnected. Oh, yeah, by the way, how you can get my book? It's on ebook format on Amazon and Barnes and Noble, and the paperback version is there, too. It's a pretty thick book, 412 pages. That's why it's $20. Yeah. You can get it that way. If you're calling, if you're listening from out of the country, that's where you have to do it. And you can go to your local bookstore and have them order it since it's on the Barnes & Noble catalog. And you might be by a Barnes & Noble store. You can just run in there and pick it up or ask them to order it if they don't have it on their shelves. Okay? My website, www.cloudsofabundance.com. Yeah, cloudsofabundance.com. And you can email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com, nrbookclub@gmail.com. I love to hear from you, all right? Love to hear feedback. Love that. Yeah, matter of fact, I posted a testimonial from one of my fans. There are a lot of people who have lives changed from Reconnected, and we had a chance to actually video one testimonial from a workshop I conducted a couple years ago. And you can go to my Facebook page at facebook.com/childselflove, and you can like that and scroll down and see the video. Again, it's facebook.com/childselflove. Okay? All right, got that. Fantastic. Now, that was self-image we just talked about. We spent a couple weeks on that. And it's very important, you know, I keep stressing this, because I know a lot of people who just have multiple marriages, keep marrying and marrying and marrying and marrying, say, well, it's like, you know, hitting that ball. I got to keep swinging until I get a hit. You see? Well, in baseball, they have only 3 strikes and you're out, you know. So it's important to not just hop around like that, but understand, you know, do an assessment. Find out what happened in the last marriage. You know, a lot of us like to say, well, she did that, he did that, that's why I'm out of here. You know, if they didn't do that, I'd be okay. Well, you know, you always have some part to play in that. You see, what was your part in that? So we got to change what's inside, because what happens is that, you know, people that are in our lives are attracted because of something that's inside us attracting them to us. Mm-hmm. Yes, so we have to change that right there. What about you as attracting them to you in the first place? So that's what needs to be checked. Okay? Very, very important. Very, very important. And there's nothing wrong with you seeing a counselor or a therapist. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I think everybody should see one, tell you the truth, especially those African-American descent, you know? We got problems. PTSD from slavery. You know, we got issues. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. We should see it because, you know, we don't know what's lurking in the back, in the subconscious mind. we want the best. We're trying to, you know, eat the right way and then follow the dictates of our religion and being kind to everybody. But we don't know what subconscious baggage is back there. That's remember I said in self-image, it's that subconscious that's ruling everything, not the conscious. It's the subconscious that forms your self-image. That self-image rules your life. So you got to know what's back there. And so if you can't do it consciously, if you can't really do it, you know, that way, you know, hey, call somebody. Call, and nothing wrong with that. You know, plenty of wonderful, fantastic therapists, counselors out here that can help you. So many different techniques that will help you. Matter of fact, a friend of mine is on the show and endorsed my book. Therapist Jeff Gaisley is one I love and recommend. And he does everything on the phone. You can go to, after the three W's, ask, it's very long, asktheinternettherapist.com. That's pretty long. Even on the show here, you know, you can go online and hear all this over again. Everything is recorded on the site at blogtalkradio.com/emailalfred. Okay? And you'll see my picture of 12 improving and repairing relationships. You can hear this and just take the mouse and rewind it back and hear me over so you can get everything I'm saying. But it's asktheinternettherapist.com. And there you'll see counselors from all over the country that can help you, you know, by phone. They take, you know, they take insurance, some of them, and you can use a credit card. Yeah, so you can get counseling on the phone that way too. So it's no excuse. You know, we all need help sometimes, and no excuse. Reach out, you know. Don't just get married without, you know, checking what's going on in the subconscious, you know, what's going on in the back room. Get some help. Ask somebody. You see? Very, very important. Understand that. And what I'm doing now, I'm just, you know, going through personal growth areas that are listed in my book here that apply to marriages so we can get some conscious tools. What happens, you keep practicing these conscious tools that I'm giving you now, and with consistency, they go into the subconscious. So you are helping to form the self-image there, all right? Yeah. By practicing these different kind of things on a regular basis, which will become a habit for you, a good habit. Make sense? Okay, all right. And the next area is a big, large area, very, very important, maybe the most important one to the key to have a healthy marriage, and it is communication and listening skills. Hear that one? Communication and listening skills. Yeah, this is a big one. Matter of fact, when I was in San Francisco, that was my first certification. I was certified in the mediation, conflict resolution, and this was a big one for me. You know, yeah, my family, we had none of that. When I grew up, I had no examples of conflict resolution, none. My parents kept things away from us, you know, and so we had no models, no nothing to experience to help me form the proper way to resolve conflict. I didn't have that. I didn't have that at all. There was no real skills in communication, listening. No, it was more of a military style of parenting, I guess. You know, you do as I say or you get the beat down, you know, kind of thing, you know. And so, you know, God just brought me to this area where I had to be certified in an area that I needed myself. Now I started teaching it to others. It's fantastic. It changed my life and has changed the lives of others. Communication and listening skills. This is so key. So key. A lot of brothers don't listen. We don't understand body language, you know, and the sisters, you know, they keep talking, and wonder why the brother's not hearing them, or, you know, they don't pick up on cues. So this is very important. This leads to a divorce, a lack of communication and listening skills. So we need to get this in order. Very, very important. Very, very, very important. Okay. When I talk about the need for communication and listening skills in all areas of our lives, be it in the workplace, in marriages, in our neighborhoods, or in our homes with our loved ones. You know, I receive mixed reactions. You know, some really believe that there is no need for this kind of focus. Can you believe that? All you need to say in response is just look at the results. Just look at the results. Yeah. There's a tremendous need. everyone to learn more about how to communicate and listen effectively. You see? Yeah. Like I said, I didn't have that in my home, and many of you might not have it in your home either. You know, everybody did the best they knew how and didn't bother to find new tools, you know? Although the ones employed were obviously not working. Dysfunction continued, and poor modeling became the standard in most homes. You see? Yeah. Many children don't communicate what they are truly feeling unless they feel comfortable in doing so. We're going back now, though. You got to go back before you go forward. If the environment is not supporting their spirit, if folks are berating, belittling, putting them down, abusing them, ignoring them, or just not being loving enough, they are not going to feel like opening up. Did you hear that? That makes them more vulnerable to more negative energies. Now, other children are not as sensitive, and they voice their feelings whether they are supported or not. And since we are preparing, you know, you to have the best marriage, we have to spend some real time with this topic. This might be 2 or 3 weeks around this alone, you see. You know? Yeah, for sure. So as you're learning more, start applying the concepts now in your life. Yeah, create homework for yourself and make progress now. See, and you got to find someone to, you know, to role play with this for sure. Yeah. All right, the first concept I'm going to address is I messages. I messages. I messages. And there are you messages. I messages and you messages. I got that? Okay. I messages focuses on our feelings and concerns. You messages criticizes or blames. That's why you got to watch when someone says you're in a defense mode. I messages says to us that we own the problem and that we are responsible for our own emotions. See? Yeah, you messages creates a feeling in the other person, like I said, of needing to be guarded. You just got your hands up, you know? I messages tells us that we are in charge of our feelings. Yeah, I messages makes the other person feel relaxed and calm. I messages helps in the communication process. I messages makes the other person want to listen, and they become motivated to pay attention to you. Yeah, hear that. Makes the other person, doesn't make them listen, makes them want to listen. And they become motivated to pay attention to you. That's so key. That's so key. Can't make anybody do anything, but if you can make them want to, then they'll do it. Yeah, they'll do it then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So instead of saying, "You make me mad," you could say, "I am feeling angry about that action you took." Instead of saying, "How could you get into a car with a perfect stranger? You're so stupid." You know, like with your kids, huh? You could say, "I am having a trouble understanding how you made the choice of getting into a car with someone that you didn't know at all." Instead of saying, "You're kicked out of class. You are so dumb." You could say, "I'm concerned that you are getting put out of class repeatedly, not staying long enough to learn the subject and pass with a good grade. Doesn't make me feel good at all." See? Yeah, for sure. Instead of saying, "What in the world is wrong with you? Can't you see that I'm on the phone? That TV is entirely too loud. You're so inconsiderate." You could say, "I'm really frustrated right now, huh? Because when the TV is so loud, I can't hear what the caller is saying." Instead of saying, "Quit leaving your effing shoes on the couch. How many times do I have to tell you, stupid?" Could say, "When I see your shoes on the couch, I feel upset and not respected, as I am trying very hard to keep the living room in order." You see, get that now, I message, you messages? Yeah. People tend to, you know, shut down and not listen to you when you throughout you messages. Or they're waiting for a comeback so they can throw a blow themselves, you know, toward you. Yeah. Now, there's no guarantee that the other person is going to listen to you, even if you take the correct position and use the I messages. But at least you have done your part to communicate your feelings. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're also honoring your inner child by acknowledging your feelings and expressing them. Too often we don't acknowledge our own feelings. We bury our feelings deep within because we feel like no one wants to be bothered or no one else cares. So why should we? Hmm? Yeah. All right, there's another book I love that I study actually for this book here. Her name is Carol K. Truman. It's called Feelings Buried Alive, Never Die. I love that book. I recommend everybody get that one also. Yeah. If you don't have a healthy outlet for your feelings, then you're inviting these unacknowledged feelings to surface in unhealthy ways. The inner child cannot be ignored forever. Yeah, you got to be able to express yourself. And do it in a nice, healthy way. You know, don't say, well, I'm just being honest. You know, you this, you that, you that. I'm just being honest. Hey, hey. What's the benefit there? Yeah, you threw up all over the place. You feel better, but now the other person doesn't feel better being around you. That does not help in the relationship. Doesn't help. So as you call yourself being quote-unquote honest, ask yourself, will this help the relationship or hurt the relationship? So that's the goal here, you know. That's the objective. Is it helping or is it hurting? Hmm? Yeah. This is very important. So it's important that, you know, to tell yourself that you're going to honor your divine spirit in your feelings. I love mirror work, as you know, you regulars who've heard me many times always talk about mirror work. Mm-hmm. As you look in the mirror, you can say, I feel good when you feel good. I honor you in all the feelings that you express and don't express. Yeah. To your image in the mirror. As this becomes easier, see, yeah, when you're ready to, you know, to talk to your children, your words and demeanor will flow naturally, you know, or to your spouse. You will soon be able to make your children or your wife feel very comfortable as you tell him or her to express him or herself in an honorable way using I messages appropriately. Their feelings are important. You will tell him or her that you care, love, and are interested in their feelings and love to hear them expressed. That's, brothers, especially brothers, that's very important to let your wife know that. You're interested in their feelings, so they love that. You see? Oh, they love that. You get real good husband points when you say that. It makes you feel good to hear them speak about their feelings. Their feelings light up your room. This will certainly make them feel supported, safe, secure, and truly loved. This will increase the bonding between you two and will have lightning speed results in your personal life and your marriage. Get that? Yeah. See, we have to realize what's really important. See, you know, like the brothers, when they're single, they're into the game, you know, and all the man stuff, and when you get married, see, that's what you understand. You have to. There's a part of you that will stay the same, but the majority part of you will not. Again, part of you will stay the same. Majority will not. Majority will be mingled. See, marriage means merger. You're merging your lives together. So the majority will not. It's like two circles. You know, I call it my two concentric circles of marriage. Imagine two circles, and they slowly come together and start coming in inside one another. Well, that part in the middle, that's the marriage that you uphold and hold as sacrosanct. You don't do anything to disturb that. You got the little parts on the side that she still holds and you still hold. That big part, and the bigger part that's in the middle, the bigger part's there. You don't do anything to change that. That means if you like the game so much, so much, you have to put some of that aside if necessary. You know, a lot of brothers worship that. You know, if a game comes on, don't talk to me. Take a message. Don't talk to me. Mm-mm. Having a healthy marriage mindset says some of that you got to put aside. What is more important? If the Falcons win or if you win in the marriage? Huh? What's more important? It might be necessary to turn it off entirely and hear what your wife has to say. Yeah, because she is more important. Absolutely. And it's vice versa, too. I was talking about the brothers, you know, and naturally I'm going to, you know, start the man position first. But same with her. Yeah, same with her. He comes home dog-tired and, you know, and has a lot on his mind, you see. And she's talking to her friends on the phone, you know, about who knows what. But by her seeing him like this and having obviously need for some real good attention, she needs to put the phone down right then and say, girl, I got to talk to you later. My husband just walked in. Huh? Give him your undivided attention. Undivided attention. Put the phone down. Turn the TV off. So it works both ways. And when you do that, let nothing else distract you. The phone, the TV, I don't care if it's about to do a touchdown. What's more important? You know, you can devo it, you know, record it for later. That's not the most important thing. If your wife needs your attention, she gets your full attention. Period. I'm going to talk about body language. It's coming up. Body language is very important. But you can't have all, you can't say, well, okay, they're talking. You're looking at your watch or you're kind of looking at the blank TV wishing to come back on by itself so you can go over and look at it. No. She picks that up. She says, you're not interested in what I have to say. Go on back to your game then, boy. Huh? Yeah. So your whole self has to be focused on what she has to say and give appropriate feedback. I'll talk about it in a little while. Now, next thing is open questions versus closed questions. Again, open questions versus closed questions. All right? Okay. Again, if anybody wants to ask a question, they want to participate, just push the number one on your telephone and I'll bring you on in, okay? Very important. All right. Good communication also means asking open questions as opposed to closed questions. If you want to get information, it is important to ask the questions that will give you what you want. Open questions require description and explanation, whereas closed questions produce one-syllable responses, such as no, yes, fine. Questions like, what kind of things happened to you today, as opposed to, did you have a good day? Hear a difference there? Yeah? All right, the more the child expresses him or herself to share details of their day, the better they will feel about themselves and the better they will feel about your relationship. This goes for parenting, too. The child will believe you are caring about their feelings in their life. Many people don't realize this, and they fail to use the simple technique of asking open questions regularly with the children, regularly with their mates. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. This is so very important. Now, the following items will contribute in wondrous ways toward a healthy, productive human being with unlimited possibilities in the world. Bonding. You know, that might seem so simple, but a lot of husbands and wives are not even, they're not bonded. They're not connected, not bonded. Just like a father needs to be bonded and connected to each of his children. I don't care if you got 13 children. They need to be bonded and connected to each one of those children. The father needs to spend special time with each and every one of those children so they can feel special and unique. The mother needs to do the same thing too. Same thing in marriage. The husband needs to spend quality time with his wife and vice versa. Quality time. Bonding. When you're connected, it makes the world of difference of how your life's going to be. What a difference, you know? Yeah, yeah. Being loving to not only the outer child but to the inner child. You know, this is also something that happens with you, you know, being loving. you know, to outer child, just, you know, to inner child. We all get inner child within us. You know, showing support of their feelings. All this contributes in wondrous ways toward a healthy marriage. Showing support of their feelings. Showing general interest in their world. Hello? All right, hope I didn't hit a bad note on that one. Showing a genuine interest in their world. Being, you know, really interested in what they like. You know? You might say, oh my God, I could care less about, you know, the colors in the store, the color of the dresses she was looking at. But ask questions anyway. Well, honey, well, did you like the red dress or the green one? You know, I'm sure they both look good on you, but, you know, it's up to you. But how did you feel in the store? And did you like the experience? Tell me more. I look at her right in the eye and mean it. It's okay. It's okay. You know? Yeah. All right. Empathy. Now, I'm going to talk about empathy versus sympathy. A lot of us don't understand the difference. We're going to talk about that right now. We have to demonstrate empathy, you know, with our children and with our mates. Yeah, you know. Empathy is sometimes confused with sympathy, so we have to differentiate the two terms. Empathy is simply a demonstration of feelings with them, identifying with their feelings and matching their feelings. Empathy is connecting to and bonding, here's the B word again, bonding with the other individual. Okay? When you're in an empathic state, your feelings, again, your feelings are not important. Only the feelings of the other person. Man, did you hear that? Man, that's so key. Boy, sometimes you hear conversations and people hijack your conversation. Because they're thinking about them. How is it affecting me? You know, me. If you say, hey, you know, I tried a new product in my hair. I don't like that. My hair won't work with that. Who said it would? You're talking about your hair, not their hair. You know, you might say, you know, I tried a good bean pie the other day. I don't like bean pie. I like potato pie better. Who asked you what you liked? They're talking about them and their feelings. Yeah. For sure. I say, you know, I just got new tile down my hall. It's great. I don't like tile. I like rug all the time. You know, hey, that's much better for me. Who asked you your opinion about that? They're talking about their experience. Why you have to hijack the conversation? Just listen to what they have to say and let them have their time, okay? Man, you know? Yeah. That's very important. All right? So, you know, so when you're talking, you naturally want to help the other person, but you do it from their perspective. I'm talking about empathy now. And not from your perspective. And you can ask plenty of questions that may influence their thinking about their circumstances. But you have to be very careful and not advise based on your own thinking. Yeah. When I used to teach this in high school, my favorite topics I taught. And I told my students that they should keep in mind that they don't exist. Only the other person and their feelings exist. See, this is where you kind of get kids to understand empathy, you know. You don't exist. Only the other person. When you talk from their perspective. So with this in mind, you're not going to do the internal scanning and searching for their answers, you know. And you're not going to steer them based on what you think should happen without complete regard for how they are feeling. The center of focus is always on them and not you. You get this yet? What you express is based on what they're saying. Their perspective is guiding you, is your guiding force. Their view is their view for you to internalize, not yours. Stop it. And this way you won't steal the conversation by switching the focus from them to you. This happens all the time in conversation. I'm telling you, my family is so bad at this. My God. I keep telling my mother, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me and my experience in the store. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about my experience. There you go again. I'm talking about me. Did I ask you how you felt about that? No. Yeah. Boy, it's really something. A lot of people do this. You know, one person's talking about the love of their life, leaving them for somebody else after 20 years of happiness and devotion. You see grief, betrayal, and sadness all over them, and you say, I know what you're going through. I gave my husband the best years of my life for 18 years. He was having an affair with my best girlfriend for 2 years, and I just found out about it. Can you believe it? Now, see what just happened? This kind of stealing or hijacking happens all the time, and it doesn't make the initial person feel good at all. See, that person wants to be heard and empathized with, not their feelings to be ignored and made to feel like the feelings of others are more important. The initial person naturally feels slighted. Marriages, I'm telling you. Their internal dialogue goes something like this. Okay. Mm-hmm, I see. It is not safe to express my feelings with her, I see. For she just wants to talk about her feelings instead. I'll just keep my feelings to myself. Nobody cares anyway about my feelings. I'll just keep them bottled up inside. Yeah, that's what the internal dialogue is saying. See, this doesn't help matters at all. When you have the opportunity to empathize with someone, remove your ego, delete your self-based feelings, and focus entirely on the perspective of the other person. Hmm? It is their feelings which are important. It is their perspective that is the only perspective to have. It is their path that is the only path to be on and not yours. Now, can't you just do that? Huh? Now, you can switch it up when it's safe, when it's okay to do that, when another person feels fine about their point that was made. Yeah, you can switch it up. But when they're talking, take their side. Take, you know, you're a student and they're a teacher. Yeah, listen to them. Husband and wives don't get this thing. Get, you know, more brothers and sisters, but, you know, we can make a change. See, when you are in the empathic mode, you are allowing yourself to be led by the other person. They are in charge of the feelings, which are the main focus. They are in charge of the emotional path you both are on. They tell you, either by words or nonverbal communication, the direction you two are to travel. It is their show and not yours. Got that? You know, I know we got to stuff it down and deep breathe. Maybe you got to meditate on it. But you got to do it. You got to do it. You want a healthy marriage? You got to do it. Yeah. All right. If your child, you know, parenting here, if your child comes to you with a scraped arm from falling off his or her bicycle, you might say, oh, no, what happened to you? That must really hurt you. Wow. That must have been an awful experience to go through. Your body language has to be congruent with your words in order for the child to believe your sincerity. Yeah. You have to look really concerned and a little hurt yourself. Remember, you're trying to put yourself in their place, so think about how their situation would affect you. Support their expressions of feelings. Blend into their frame of reference. The more empathic you become with your child, the more bonding increases. You know, or your child, your mate. The more bonding increases, trust increases, and your positive, healthy, joyous marriage increases. Yeah. Got that? This is so important. Man, I hope you got this. You know, I hope you get this. You know, I want everybody, you know, as you know, some just called in a little while ago. I'm Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child. So I'm reading a spouting, you know, from my book, Reconnected. Everybody get this book. Please get this. You know, go to my site, theclouds.com, and I can actually autograph it and mail it to you personally myself, or go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon if you like doing that. And if you have an ebook or a Kindle, you can download it from the Amazon and Barnes & Noble sites, you know, or you can walk in Barnes & Noble and get it right there. It might be on the shelf, or they'll just order it for you. And, of course, if you're listening from other parts of the world, you can go to your local bookstore and have them order it, or go to Barnes & Noble if you can, okay? Yeah. So get it. Real important. You know, it's important to have the right tools. Hey, be happy, you know. Be happy. Yeah, very important. You know, and when we are, we just feel better. You know, it's very important. The kids, you know, they want to be connected with their parents. And husbands want to be connected to their wives, and wives want to be connected to their husbands. If you don't get married in the first place. Don't do it. Some of y'all get married for the wrong reasons. Because you feel you have to. You got to feel half your religion. You got to do it. Yeah, you know. And you don't want anything but connect. You marry, so, oh my God. You start tolerating the person. No, don't do it. Don't get married. No. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just like the first connection in the womb through the umbilical cord. Children are always seeking connection because they remember the paradise of the womb. The womb was the ultimate resort. You had everything supplied to you. Oh, yes. You didn't have to do anything. Just relax and receive it all. You could swim around if you wanted to, stretch or move or just do nothing, and everything needed was provided. You didn't even have to worry about pooping and peeing. Even that was taken care of. Quite naturally, this kind of heavenly experience is not going to be forgotten. The child subconsciously is going to yearn for that nurturing experience again. Nothing comes close to that kind of paradise. Being connected is very important to the child. All right? This is why we as concerned adults have to do what we can to stimulate connection. And we have to stimulate connection with our spouses. That's very important. I hope everybody got that. Okay, real, real super important. Again, if you want to ask questions or communicate, just hit number one and I'll get you in. Excuse me, drink a little water. I'm glad I could drink water now after Ramadan's over with. Water tastes so good now. All right, sympathy. Now, I talked about empathy. Now it's sympathy. Difference, okay? Sympathy is describing emotions to versus with them. Got that? To versus with them. As in empathy. For example, let's say a good friend of your child died. You say to your child, I am so sorry that Yusuf died, and then walk away after a gentle rub on their shoulder. See, you are not expressing your feelings, trying to identify with your child's feelings or supporting their feelings or even acknowledging their child's sorrow. You're just letting them know that you have acknowledged their friend's death and you felt bad for them. Nothing wrong with that. That is sympathy. You bring the flowers, but not the appropriate feelings needed. There are times when, you know, sympathy is very appropriate, like, you know, a neighbor that you really don't know has a loss, and you want to do something to let them know that you are a caring human being. So you just send flowers and a card. You see? Yeah, nothing wrong with that. You know, but we're going to build up our empathic muscles. You got to build your empathic muscles. So, you know, as you know, especially, you know, brothers and some sisters who are, you know, weightlifters, you know, you got to, if you don't build the muscles up, you'll never have the strength. And it takes a while. You get sore at first, you know, but you keep on going at it. You know, practicing empathy, if you're not used to doing that, you know, sounds kind of strange and foreign to you. Like, this is not me. This is not me to say these things, okay? It's not me to do this. Boy, I'd rather do something else. Good God, am I got to pretend. See, when you say pretend, you're blowing it right there. How about Allah, oh my God, bless me, help me in this area. Increase my understanding in this area. Help me do the best job I can because I want the best marriage possible for me. So help me in this area. I need help because I'm not used to this. I'm not used to talking like this or acting like this. So please help me in this area. Okay? Bless me here. And, you know, and when you intend to do this, God will help you, like when you intend to fast. Then God says, oh, you intend to do it? Let me help you out now. So it's, you know, make your intentions. Make your intentions to be a good empathic person with your mate. Yeah. When you say intention, God says, well, okay, I'm right here with you. You invite the God force to help you then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very important to understand that. Okay. You got empathy, got sympathy, got that down, right? Okay. Your roles and rules. There are roles and rules. When you're engaged in a conversation, you're playing either a communicator role or a listener role. When you're in a communicator role, you are to use I, messages to clearly state your position and feelings. It is your turn and time to speak. You have the floor and the full attention of the other party. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when you're in the listener role, you are not to speak and interrupt. And you cannot wait for the other person to breathe. Well, I always do that. So you can get your point in and maybe steal the conversation. No. You ought to patiently listen attentively. Yeah, you got to do it. Make sure you have the main points. Now, you can paraphrase what you understand to be the main points back to the other person, making sure your understanding matches theirs. Your body language reveals that you're interested and engaged in their story. Remember, not your story, in their story. Okay? Now, you may get feedback in this manner. You might say, let's see if I have this correctly. You say that you want me to watch the back door while you sneak the car out of the garage. If mom comes back in the house, I'm supposed to stall her while you drive off. Do I have the right understanding here? Okay. You know, like a little humor. You should know that by now. When it is time to switch roles, party A will have to abide by the rules and roles of the listener, and party B will now have to abide by the rules and roles of the communicator. To have effective communication, we have to stay in our respective roles until it is the appropriate time to switch. Most often this doesn't happen. You know that. The dominant ones carry the conversation where they want it to go. Now, that's how it is. Those who have a moderate to low self-esteem just keep their feelings and story to themselves. They don't have the energy and nerve to stand up to the conversation dominator or conversation bully. Yeah, the dominant ones do it. Yeah, like little bulldozers. Next area is impartiality. Impartiality. It is important to demonstrate impartiality with your kids, you know, and sometimes with your mate, you know. Remember, we have to, as I'm talking about these different personal growth areas, we got to ask yourselves, you know, well, what fits my particular situation? What fits my particular situation? That's real important to understand that, you know, what fits. Yeah. Some things don't fit. Some things just don't fit, okay? Now, with parenting, I got mixed parenting up here with marriage, too, because, you know, it applies in the area also, you know? Like, kids want you to take sides all the time, and they want your advice on everything, right? Since our role is to stimulate the thinking process in their young minds, we are going to be in the position of asking a lot of questions. We might ask, what do you think about so-and-so, How do you feel about that? Yeah. What would you do if you had the power to make a change? What do you think is the right thing to do? How would you feel if the same thing happened to you? How did it feel when you did that to them? Do you think that that was the right thing to do? Yeah. Now, remember, you got to apply with fits. You know, now, the last question, that doesn't apply to marriages. Do you think that was the right thing to do? Your wife comes in with this coat and, you know, all these clothes, and you're looking at your bills trying to figure out how you go to keep the lights on, right? You ask her, do you think that was the right thing to do? Instead of judging, turn matters around through your questioning. Questioning makes them think. It makes them answer. And usually the answers are, you know, right answer comes from them, and that's what you want. See, this makes them think about their situation, and usually they come up with their own answers, right? And when they do, they own the answer. It is their property because they created it themselves. You can tell them that the answer lies within them. Tell them that your questions make them think more on their own. I'm parenting here now, okay? Yeah. Tell them that you love it when they think on their own and come up with their own answers, you know? Yeah. That's what real men and women do. You're doing great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So that's very important. You got that? ask the right questions. Now, paraphrasing. Paraphrasing is another tool to be recognized and utilized. Paraphrasing is another way to facilitate connection. That's what it's all about, connecting and bonding. Yeah. And when you paraphrase to your mate, you know, he or she has a sense that you really heard them, because in paraphrasing, you are retelling their story in your own words. Retelling their story in your own words. Yeah, for sure. When you paraphrase, make sure you get what's called confirming feedback to make sure you are correct in your interpretation of their story. Ask them, now, did I get that right? See? All right, that's confirming feedback. When they answer positively, then you know you have scored points with them. Mm-hmm. To paraphrase correctly, you have to really hear the details of their story. So, that requires you to pay attention and concentrate on them and them alone. So this is where active listening comes in. Okay, and that brings us to the next one, active listening. Active listening. Yeah, yeah, for sure. The term active listening means physically showing support. Physically showing support. Your body language is demonstrating interest. Your eye contact is direct. Don't be looking at your watch and looking at the computer screen and looking at the phone and looking at outside while you're talking to your mate. Don't do that. You are really understanding and concentrating on what they are saying and not on how you are feeling. You are making mental and sometimes actual notes on their main points. You get that? Yeah, you're actually making notes on their, right, on their main points. Yes, yeah, so you can ask intelligent questions. Yeah, listening. What is listening? Huh? When I was teaching in the class, I would ask students what they thought listening was. They got a lot of responses, and some are correct, and some are really way out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, listening. Man, water tastes so good. Man, wonderful. Praise God. All right. Means to pay close attention to give your ear and yourself. Yeah, you have to develop and internalize sharp skills and the ability to listen objectively with a keen sense of demonstrated empathy. We empathically listen to others. You start to process their situation from their frame of reference instead of your own. True listening requires, first, that you're not preoccupied, for if you are, you cannot fully receive the information from them. Got that? Yeah, very important. Yeah, I'm telling you, you know, I don't care how much you love a certain thing. You know, a lot of you know I'm also a musician. You know, that's my passion. God gave that to me. Let me tell you, if I'm practicing, my wife comes in there, ask for a question, immediately I'll stop. I turn the music off. Yeah, I give her the time she needs to have. You see, looking at the game and about to get a touchdown, and she lets you know this is very important to her. I don't care about a touchdown. You don't care. What's more important, a touchdown or your marriage? The real touchdown is being connected and bonded with your wife or your husband. That's the real touchdown. Yeah. So they have to feel their first, after God, naturally. They got to feel their first in your life. Not second, third, or fourth, you know. And I heard some women, you know, I used to teach a pregnant and parenting school some years ago. Some of those women said, those girls says, well, if I can be a happy third, I'll be okay. Some say, hey, you know, hey, I'm number two this time. I feel good. Yeah, their boyfriends got other women. And they know that, and so if they could be a happy third, you know, maybe a happy fourth, and they're happy, not good. Don't do that. You know, God's universe is not limited. And then, you know, and we, you know, a lot of them, you know, grow up, and even in some Muslim communities, you know, the sisters say the same thing, you know. Well, you know, there's not many men out here. I got to share my husband with, you know, another sister, you know, and again, I'll be happy number two, happy number three. You know, God's universe is not limited. It's unlimited. Unlimited. He's created you in the most excellent mold. Excellent mold. He wants the best for you. Has the best for you. Already created for you. Yeah. It's kind of like a virtual escrow reality or a parallel universe. It's created for you. The best. Best husband. Best wife. Yours and yours alone. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Don't sell for second best. Don't sell for anything else. Sell for the best, but you got to be the best first yourself. That's why we're going through these personal growth areas slowly, one step at a time. Very, very important. Very important to understand that. That's listening. All right, I'm going to cover one more area where I stop for today, and we'll continue next week with our part five. It's body language. Body language. Yeah. We need to address body language. Body language is very, very important in this topic of communication and listening skills in marriages. Yeah. Now, I really hear this. Really important. Might even take notes. Body language is referred to as non-verbal cues. Non-verbal cues. Statistics say that 93% of effective communication is through non-verbal cues. And that's 55% body language and 38% through tone of voice. And only 7% is through actual words. Yeah. This is why I call this the 93/7 principle of communication. Again, 93/7 principle of communication. All right, since the vast majority of communication that gets through is nonverbal, we have to recognize what we are communicating. Yeah. Observe children as they model their parents' behavior. Yeah, that's really funny. They're more influenced by the body language and tone of voice than by their actual words. See, do as I say, not as I do, does not work. As we see children, teens, and adults follow what they see and not what they hear. This saying, kids be what they see, is more accurate. How are we standing, folding our arms, leaning forward in a chair, or slouching? Look at our hands on our hips, looking at the clock constantly, one foot out the door while talking. And observe ourselves standing while others are sitting, holding a conversation while looking at television or on the computer. We have to have some congruency about ourselves in this regard. See, the root word congruent means, you know, matching, aligning, agreeing, or coinciding. See, it sends clear, consistent messages to the other party. Incongruency, on the other hand, leads to confusion, to non-acceptance, and then to rebellion. When our youth get mixed messages the adults are sending, this subtle message to them is this: we don't want you to really understand our point of view. And or, we're trying to hide something. Neither of these messages work. Our words have to match our body language to show that we are communicating effectively. Understanding body language increases our understanding of ourselves and others. Yeah, for sure. You know, again, I go to the brothers more so. Yeah, when you're talking to your wife there, be present in total. Don't be half there. They can tell. Yeah, for sure. So you might be evaluating, judging, approving, disapproving, agreeing, disagreeing, confirming, and or denying all by your body language. Yeah. Yeah, as you're communicating with your mate, you want to ask at various intervals about their feelings. As you're asking them how they feel, they will, from the pattern that you are establishing, bond more with you and really feel validated. Oh, yeah, for sure. Get that? Yeah. it can be quite challenging to communicate and connect with those, you know, apparently now with those children who are considered lost children, you know. You know, I mean, it's that's an awful label for someone. Lost, you're lost. Yeah, that's not good at all, you see. But many of y'all know, been to recovery about the family roles, you know, like, you know, lost child or hero, you know. Yeah, so the lost child in the dysfunctional family model is a child that is the quiet one, the one that doesn't express themselves much, you know, the one that feels depressed within because they don't feel validated and loved. The one that quiets that, you know, quiets the inner voice to survive. Yeah, typically say, no one cares about my inner turmoil and buried feelings, so I'll just keep a lid on them and live a life of pretense. I'll show a humorous side to hide my true feelings. I'll appear content and not make waves to hide the pain. I'll be obedient so they won't make me feel worse than I already feel inside. I'll just go along with the program so attention will be drawn to me. All right, now this also is true with marriages. Wives and husbands say the same thing. A lot of the time wives say this. You know, they bury feelings inside too many times, and they just, you know, they don't want to upset, you know, or they don't want to get the beat down. They might think the husband might actually physically beat them. You know, it might be not even based on any reality. The husband might not do that at all, but because of their past experiences, the past baggage, or their childhood, they're thinking this way, you know? So by thinking that way, they act that way, and they keep their feelings to themselves. And a husband might be really trying to connect a bond with them. You know, honey, like, how are you feeling? What's going on with you? I'm concerned. You know, and they just, they're afraid to express themselves. They're afraid to be vulnerable in that area. Yeah. They're afraid to be vulnerable in that area. And that's very important to understand that a marriage has to allow both parties to be vulnerable. You have to connect on that level. Did you hear that? You have to connect on that vulnerable level. So, yeah, look, I don't care how old you are, I don't care how many times you've been hurt. You said, look, next time I'll keep that part to myself because, you know, if I expose that part, they'll just stomp all over. They'll just squish it and then throw it under the bus somewhere. So I'm keeping that part to myself. A lot of us say that. We might not say it consciously, but we are storing our subconscious. Like I mentioned earlier, when I was finishing my self-image portion, I said those unconscious things form our self-image. And that self-image form in the back room controls how you're going to act and behave. So, the sister is thinking that the brother's going to abuse them, see, and that's in the subconscious. That's forming her image of the brother, of her husband, going to determine how she's going to act. So she's less likely to show that vulnerable side of herself. You got that? Yeah. So it's very important to understand that. Now, I'll repeat some of this again. She says, I'll appear content and not make waves to hide the pain. I'll be obedient so he won't make me, you know, he won't make me feel worse than I already feel now. I'll just go along with his program so the attention will be drawn to me, you know. So, yeah, that's how a lot of them feel, you know. So we have to stop that. We have to stop that. So we're going to end this right now, and I need to really, you know, emphasize the point of everybody getting these tools. Now, I'm saying that, of course, you can hear this talk anytime you want to by going to blogtalkradio.com/emailmalfred and scroll down to you see this part four, a segment on improving and repairing relationships and preparing, too. It's also good for preparing for the best marriage. Yeah, that's the best thing. Prepare before you even get into the marriage. Yeah, for sure. And, so get the tools. You know, go on Amazon, go on Barnes & Noble, go to my site, cloudsofabundance.com. I'm Nazim Rashid. You can email me. I'd love to hear feedback from you. nrbookclub@gmail.com. Again, nrbookclub@gmail.com. All right, and I can get feedback from you. Get the information. It's important to have these tools so you can have the best transformation you can have. First, personally, and then for the marriage. It always starts with you first. You can't give what you don't have. Okay? All right. So with that in mind, we're going to stop there, and we're going to visit with you next week for part five of improving and repairing and preparing for the best marriage possible. Okay? The best. You deserve the best, so get the best. Own the best. Claim the best. You'll have the best. So I'll leave with the greetings that only God can give with you, the greetings of peace, His peace for you. Assalamu alaikum.